Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we talk delays with Cyberpunk 2077, Far Cry 6, and many more. That plus we talk backwards compatibility, streamers paying developers, and Mass Effect is back, ladies and gentlemen. But first, you're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, and we will head into introductions.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Rob. Joey has a night off. And as usual, let's just jump into what we have been playing. And we'll go alphabetically, because there's only two of us.
You always go to me. So
I know.
Yeah, so it's...
You're the boss, man.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme in terms of what we've been playing. I've been playing a lot of stuff recently. And again, we've always cycled through stuff, things we have to review. And I know, like, we're, like, updating. There's just been a lot of things, just going on. But we have some stuff here, coming for you guys. I've been playing a lot of the Falconeer. So I finally got my, review build, from Wired Productions. And I did a preview, earlier in the month, and I did call out a few things with the Falconeer. I love the actual art style. I love the way the game feels in terms of like movement and navigating. But there was a few things I did not like, and in the review, actually, like the review build, those things were actually fixed. So I'm glad to say that this is one of the, not one of the few times, but this is actually one of the best preview into review builds that I've ever seen in terms of like gameplay balance, because everything hit. Now on my preview, on the preview build, I was having issues with how the game balanced ammo that you got on your Falcon with the lightning rods. Now that has been fixed. You don't have to go all the way out of the mission zone to get ammo. I'm very, very excited about the Falconeer. I'm still playing it. And the review will be up this week. But I'm very excited for just seeing something like this being done with by one man team. Yes, someone else did do the music in the game. But as a one-man team, this is a very solid game for it being just one person. So yeah, check out my review, later on this week. And yeah, it's coming on, Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S. So it's going to be the one to look for at launch. Well, again, with the Xbox series, it might be one of the only titles to look for launch, going by how this is all playing out. So definitely look forward to that. Now another thing I've been playing a lot of, and I'm actually kind of disappointed in this one in particular, Watch Dogs Legion released. And I don't know if you guys remember, I've always said that this has been one of my most anticipated titles of the year, because, you know, what they were trying to do with Watch Dogs Legions was pretty much just like the scope of the possibilities of what they can do with the Watch Dogs engine. And, you know, things you can do with like the hacking portions of the game. And I am so disappointed in it. Like, very disappointed in it. Like, I can't even make, you know, I can't even, like, what do you call it? I can't even save it. Like, it's something, yeah, it's something so, like, it's fun. It's still a fun game, but it's very mediocre. It's very just there. And it's crazy looking back at all the stuff that they did show of Watch Dogs Legion, or where you can actually recruit everybody in the game. Any pedestrian, any civilian could be, you know, you could play with them, and they all have different skills. They all have different abilities, but the execution is just so off that an example, let me give you like one example, because it's a mess. It's really a mess. So things like things that you did in Watch Dogs 2 and Watch Dogs 1, they have been simplified. So every character has their own specific weapons and hacking abilities. So let's say if you go ahead and go to like a civilian, that civilian might have hacker abilities on their own. So they only get to use those hacker abilities. It's great. Like it's great that each character can feel different, but the game does not work well because of it. It's like you lost like a lot of things coming in from Watch Dogs 1 and 2. And, you know, to actually recruit one of the civilians, you have to do one of their quests. Once you do one of their quests, they join your team. Now, what I have seen with these quests, doing these quests, is that they're very run of the mill quests. Like they're like, oh, go ahead and infiltrate this sort of a lockdown area, bring back the paperwork, then leave the area and meet back up with me. Now, it's all fine and dandy, very run of the mill, it's fine and dandy, but the amount of traveling that you have to do from where you get the quest to the mission is ridiculous. And it's not even, and this is almost all the people that you can get, like all the civilians in the game have a quest where you start off talking to the person. Once you get that mission, this quest is fucking halfway across the map. Like you have to travel, just like it's far. And to make matters even worse is that the driving is terrible. Like the physics for the driving, terrible. There's a lot of pop-ins. There's a lot of slowdown and tearing. I'm playing it on base PS4, but I was just so stunned that I really don't complain about tearing, and it was bad. It was like seeing like the screen just rip. It was just ripping in terms of like the picture. I was like, whoa, this is new. Like,
well, I mean, it doesn't even seem like it's just the PS4 that has issues. Like even like the PC versions had some problems too. Like even running on like the 30 series NVIDIA cards.
Yeah, it's a very weird game. Like I feel like another year actually could have done it justice. And the initial showing of Legion, they had many different stat setups for each character. Like, oh, this character has like a power of 14. And his dexterity was like 15, like kind of like RPG elements in there, but that is totally gone from the game. It's completely gone. So the differences between characters, again, it's just certain weapons, hacking skills, and like abilities such as, let's say if you were to just get like any random civilian, there's civilians that actually just shop and they spend money for you, which is kind of bad if you're looking like to money manage, because you could get new clothes, new weapons, but it's very simple now. Like there's no, everybody has the same skill tree. There's no difference. It's like I said, difference. It's just weapons and slight abilities. And even then, it's not very slight. Everybody feels the same, almost. So it's fun. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It's fun, but it's definitely not the polished Watch Dogs that I'm used to. And I recently just finished playing Watch Dogs 2. And I've always, again, I always complain, like, I don't really like open world games too much. But when one grabs me, you know, whatever it may be, I love open world games where the, like, the movement speeds are amazing, where, like, there's some sort of mobility. I like open world gameplay like that, like Spider-Man, Infamous, just to name a few. Like Death Stranding, I like just because that was the whole game. It, you know, things mattered, like the rock placement. So, and the terrain placement mattered in Death Stranding. So that's why I like Death Stranding, going into that. Because I know people are going to be like, oh, but you love Death Stranding. But yeah, it's a little different. You know, with open worlds like this, Watch Dogs, which, you know, emulates like a Grand Theft Auto feeling. Yeah, I'm just very disappointed. It's not as polished as Watch Dogs 1 and 2. I really wish this was just actually just Watch Dogs 3. I really wish they put the time and effort into it and came out with the original idea, where stats mattered, where the story was actually more cohesive. Because it's, right now, the story is that, again, DedSec, the group that you're in, they're trying to, you know, save London from evil corporation, evil company, pretty much creating a revolution for information. So there's practically no story because there's no main focus. And yeah, that's another bummer. That's definitely another bummer. And Watch Dogs 2, I felt like their characters there resonated with me a lot more. And it was more polished. Like it's definitely more polished. I know they could do things with a patch, but I don't think a patch could fix the gap between the story. So I'm very, very disappointed in just in general. Like it kind of soured me on the Watch Dogs series. Yeah,
like, I mean, I have got nothing to add because I did not like the first game and I've not played any of the other ones. I think I technically have the second on Uplay when they gave it away, but I haven't even, like, installed it, so.
Yeah, it definitely soured me. I'm still playing it. Like, I'm going very slowly. Like, I'm going very, very, very slowly in playing it, hoping that a patch could patch up some things like the tearing, the driving physics. But we will see. And yeah, very disappointed at that. Yeah, leaving that game. I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14 with you. I know we've been playing a lot more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now we're up to the part there where we just beat the Realm Reborn. So that's definitely exciting. Yeah.
Well, yes. Beat the vanilla. I think some people consider like the quests between vanilla and Heavensward, like the update quests, as part of Realm Reborn. But yeah, we've finished the vanilla story so far.
Yeah,
we're plugging away at the stuff to get to the first expansion.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been playing that. I mean, that's been the only bright spot. That and the Falconeer has been the only bright spot because Watch Dogs completely, like, just completely, like, ruined, you know, my enthusiasm for the Watch Dogs series. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, what have you been playing?
Yes, Final Fantasy 14. Yeah, so, you know, everything you said, yes, got Blue Mage, got Samurai, got Red Mage, but I haven't played Red Mage. Just enough to, like, get the quest and get the Soul Crystal. I have fulfilled my part of the bet I made way back when I said that Cyberpunk wouldn't get delayed. And so I got The Last of Us.
Here we are.
Here we are. We truly are The Last of Us. I am still early on. I played a little bit yesterday. I do not like it. And I don't think I'm going to... I'm going to give it another little shot, but I don't. It's not my game. Like, I'm not... I gave it a shot. Like I said, I'm going to give it another shot. But, like, what I played, I just don't want to play it.
That's all we wanted.
I just don't want to play it.
That's all we wanted. We wanted you to give it a shot.
Because it's just... It's very The Boys and Walking Dead-esque in terms of everyone's an asshole. And there is, so far, I should say, and everything's grave, and it's just, like, overpowering sense of just dread.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of it.
I don't like that shit. Like, that's why I stopped watching The Boys after, like, two or three episodes. Just, like, I can't deal with this where everyone's a piece of shit. Like, I mean, it's fine if it was, like, more dramatic, but, like, bright spots, it's just, I don't know. I guess after the last 4 years, it's just, like, I just want something happy. It doesn't even have to be happy. Like, fuck it. I mean, it just has to be, like, fun in a sense of something. But like I said, I'm going to give it another shot, play a little bit more. And see what happens, but it's just, I can't.
That's all we wanted. That's all we wanted out of the bet. So you can just give it a shot and just play it through to see how it is. So it's been fulfilled. I don't even know if
I play it through. Like, I mean, even then, like, I'm going to play it on easy because I don't give a fuck. I normally will play stuff on normal if it's like my first time through. But, like, I'm not. I'm going to play it on easy just so I can get through it. And if I can't, then I can't. I'm sorry. I just fucking can't with that game. I'm sure it's fun. And I'm not poo-pooing anyone who loves it and who likes that kind of stuff. It's just not for me, bro. It's not for me. Well, anyway, that's it. I haven't played anything else. I basically plunked down $75 for DLC for DJ Max respect. And I bought Resident Evil 3, which I haven't played yet. It's installed, but I haven't played it. But I haven't touched it. Like I said, this week's kind of not really stressful, but it's just like, if I'm not at work, I'm sleeping. And if I'm not sleeping, I'm just eating. And if I'm not eating, I'm just laying in bed. Yeah. So it sounds depressing, but it's just like, I'm so exhausted because of work.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's been an exhausting week, so.
It has. But anyway, let's just go ahead and jump into the topics. Okay, make sure my thing's still recording. Yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into what one person on the Google Stadia development team had said. Mr. Alex Hot Take Hutchison. Yeah, who said that well, apparently he's done nothing but hot takes. Like, apparently he was the one who he was at Ubisoft and he said that animating women is too hard, or it would take a lot more resources than just animating men. It's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's anyway, very toxic.
Yes, but yes, he said that streamers should be paying developers and publishers of the games they stream. Because clearly streamers are making money off of these people's hard work. And yes, that is true. However, I mean, it is a symbiotic relationship.
Definitely is.
Streamers and developers and publishers. Like, obviously, developers and publishers will lean on streamers to help get the word out about their game. They'll give them, our streamers, like, review copies or early pre-release copies. They'll sponsor a stream where they show off, you know, a game. And obviously, on the other hand, too, like, streamers will... I mean, look at more recently, like, Among Us. That shit came out, like, 3 years ago, and it's, like, one of the hottest... Hold on, I'm going to check on Twitch right now, actually, to see where live it updates. Is in terms of popularity.
Live updates, yes. Yeah.
As of recording yes. right now. Oh, God, it's so loud. Okay. Browse? Am I doing that right? Yeah. Among Us right now has six... Hold on. High to low. Okay. So Among Us right now has 65.4 thousand viewers. It is... As far as games, not including just chatting, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the fifth highest game currently beating Fortnite in terms of viewers for the game. League of Legends number 1, Minecraft 2, Call of Duty, Apex Legends. So yeah, Among Us is, for like a little indie game, it's exploded because of streamers. Like, that's really the only way, like, stuff like that is gonna, you know, happen.
Yeah, and...
Is streamers will make things popular.
Yeah, and that game, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years, like you mentioned. So, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, so yep. it's a very symbiotic relationship. But it's kind of a hot take as well, because, again, it's a symbiotic relationship. You need, one needs the other. And Google actually distanced themselves from Alex Hutchinson because, you know, the comment that he did make did cause a backlash, and yeah, it definitely should. It's again symbiotic relationship, but yeah, hot take. It's complete hot take. That's all. This is hot take. That's all I will say about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a bad take at all. because it's like I said, it's symbiotic. I mean, obviously, you know, developers and stuff should get paid more for the work that they do. They should get, like, all that, but... I mean, again, if it wasn't for streamers, then, you know, they wouldn't have, or they wouldn't be able to spotlight certain games. Fortnite, maybe not Minecraft, but Fortnite, all those other type of games wouldn't be where they are if it wasn't for streaming. So, nothing's going to change overnight, and nothing's going to happen. So, it's just one spicy take. Yeah. That should not have happened. Alrighty. And let's talk about PS5. Because as of this recording, the PS5 and Series X will be out soon-ish. Within the next few days. But let's specifically talk about backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And a few other things. Because shit keeps like changing. Because they said, what, 11 games? Originally, 10 or 11 games weren't playable.
Yeah. It's...
And then now it's changed where there's a few more games that aren't playable.
Well, it hasn't changed. So what we know about backwards compatibility, this is directly from Sony, that 10 games are not playable at all. Now, Sony has mentioned when backwards compatibility was announced that almost every game will work about... You know, 99%, and which is actually true because it's 10 games out of like 4,000. But Ubisoft put out an article on their blog regarding games that do not work completely. And this actually was a thing that was going on last week where Assassin's Creed Syndicate wasn't playable, where they Ubisoft themselves mentioned that Assassin's Creed Syndicate wasn't playable, Assassin's Creed Chronicles wasn't playable, and lo and behold, like the PlayStation 5 news that we've been getting, we just came out of embargo, and people have been trying the backwards compatibility, and those games do work. The thing is that they might have graphical glitches. So they're bootable. It's just that they might have graphical glitches. And I've always said with the PS5 backwards compatibility that this was going to be a thing, just like on the PS2, where you would turn on disk speed for PlayStation 1 games, put bilinear filtering on, you know, and enhance it in that sort of a way. So, yeah, backwards compatibility on PlayStation 5 is looking to be the same way, where some games are bootable, but they might have graphical issues, and it's not many that have it. So far, it's about 200 titles that look to be bootable, going by the compatibility list that's actually on the PlayStation Store. There's been scripts that tell you, you know, the game is actually bootable, completely compatible. But so far, so good. Assassin's Creed Syndicate is one of the only ones that has been shown that do have graphical glitches. Like, you're able to see it. And people who got their PlayStation 5 review units were able to pull it up. It is playable. Still playable. But again, it might have some graphical issues. And Sony did mention, and getting the list for those 10 games out, they did mention that some games might have graphical issues, and it might be a case-by-case basis. But so far, the backwards compatibility has been a standout, going by just all the all the reviews. It works similar to how like how the Xbox Series S and the X do backwards compatibility, where it uses the system's full potential in terms of processing power and GPU. Like, Sekiro is one of the ones mentioned a lot in looking at backwards compatibility comparisons. And Sekiro runs at solid 60, and it's actually more solid than the Xbox Series S and the Series X running. So,
well, isn't, I think there was, or maybe it's just PC, but I know there was supposed to be a patch update to add like a whole bunch of features, so I imagine they'd improve stability there as well.
Yeah, it's very nice though that at least Sony came through with backwards compatibility. I already know what to expect, but it's nice that, you know, people got the units and they're seeing a lot of like big like what do you call it? Big just improvements in general. So it's very cool. People have had Xbox Series S and X for quite a while now, so we've known a lot about backwards compatibility because that's what the system has for it at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool seeing that everything like worked out, just because the way Sony had embargoed the news, because we've been waiting, we've been thirsty for PS5 news. Now it's, you know, the week right before launch, a few days, and we're just getting stuff out here. So we're just getting, you know, more news. So it's pretty impressive, the backwards compatibility so far. So I'm actually excited about a few things on that. If they could keep tweaking it, that's fine, but I'm all about the PS5 games. So I'm all about the PS5 games.
Yeah, like backwards compatibility is nice for like the first year or two while, you know, stuff gets like you're still getting like last gen games like that have good quality to them that aren't on next gen coming out. So it's nice to play those. But like, yeah, after that first year when there's like the drought's over, like it's nice to just go full on, you know, current gen PS5 games.
I mean,
but it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, Sony has more for it at launch, so it's kind of like you mentioned, the year in. I think with the PlayStation 5, just in probably like 3 months, you're gonna forget about it. To be completely honest. Looking at the games that they have,
yeah,
for the PlayStation 5,
it's definitely gonna like forget about it within like a few months. Like once games start like being more frequent, yeah. But again, it's a nice feature. But I do like what Microsoft does with backwards compatibility is, sure, they have it more limited and not like anything can play, but they actually do upgrades to the games themselves so that they can be like 4K or add some little extra tweaks and stuff. So that's nice that it has that over PlayStation. Yeah, but still, backwards compatibility is cool, you know, especially if it's like a game that they just add. And I think that's what helps with some games is, like, you know, if something gets added to backwards compatibility on Xbox, people go out looking for that game, trying to find it so that they can play it again. But then again, that means there's nothing on Xbox, so who cares?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah,
Xbox has no games. That is literally where we're at now. We're regurgitating memes from two gens ago.
Unfortunately, that is the reality. And like I said, the Falconeer is coming out on Series X and Series S, like day one. But when you compare it to something like Spider-Man and Demon Souls, and just like the other bigger titles, it definitely keeps up with them, but it's not a banger. It's not a hit. And it kind of sucks because I see why the Falconeer is there at launch. But Microsoft putting backwards compatibility at the forefront, a set of games like The Falconeer, which I barely see any mention of it, it kind of sucks. There should have been more forward thinking on launch. And I know Halo was supposed to release on launch, but Halo wasn't going to be enough, unfortunately. That's just how I see it coming down to the wire here in terms of like launch. Halo wasn't gonna be it.
It seems like hardware wise they're all set, but software wise they aren't. But they don't have the with Sony launching this year, Microsoft needs to launch this year, because Lord knows if Microsoft launched next year with some more games, it would have sold worse than I think it's going to do now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, I wish that their launch would have been much better. Because right now it's geared just as a Game Pass console.
Pretty much a Game Pass. Game Pass and backwards compatibility.
Yeah. And seeing like Sony release backwards compatibility, like it's nothing. It's like, okay, like they've had their cards set up, because backwards compatibility is good on PlayStation 5. So it's kind of weird that Microsoft did not do launch. But that, again, that's enough about Microsoft, because I know they do tie together. Yes. They do tie together. With backwards compatibility, but the way Sony has just effectively, like, you know, just said backwards compatibility is, it's not an afterthought, but it's there, and it coming out great is definitely a good look. So,
Well, I feel like they would have had PS3 backwards compatibility on the PS4 if PS3 wasn't such a black sheep in terms of
Design. Yeah, but. Yeah. Definitely agree with you there. Mm-hmm. Well,
It's all about the new games, such as Miles Morales. Yes, which they had a pretty lengthy costume reveal for a costume reveal. Like, I think the video was like, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was 20 minutes. It did give us more gameplay, too.
Yeah, just basically showcasing the Into the Spider-Verse costume for Miles Morales. And I mean, like, I was always going to get the game. There's no doubt in my mind I was going to get the game, even though it's like, you know, the first Spider-Man game was pretty all right. But like the suit in game animates exactly like the movie.
Yeah.
And it also adds like the sound effects when you do attacks, and it's just like, oh, that just looks so awesome.
Yeah.
It looks like so awesome to
actually see animated in a game.
Just swing around
like,
it.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, once
like they went all out. I think I would have been happy if they're just like, here's the costume, cool, and then that's it. But like they went all out.
Yeah, they really did a great job. And this is the difference with Avengers and Miles. Where there's like love, oh. Like, you know, they
there's like
love put in there,
but
and you see it with, yes. With, you know, the into the Spider-Verse costume, like you see that love, like you see everything, the way he animates the quips, like everything there, and you could use the modification on another suit as well, the quips and the way he animates, so. There's a lot of love put into this, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that video right there was ridiculous for a costume reveal. It played out exactly how I wanted it to play out. when we were thinking like there wasn't going to be a Spider-Verse costume, well,
oh, I knew there was going to be one. Like there's going to be one. There's no doubt because like. Miles doesn't have like a huge treasure trove of costumes to pull from. So I was like, the Enter the Spider-Verse would be in there. But I thought it would just be like, that's it. And it'd just be a costume and then just move on. But it moves completely different, which is great.
Yeah. And talking about costumes again, by the way, there's actually 19 costumes in the game.
How many were in the first game? In the
first game, I believe it was over 20.
I want to say like 30?
Miles doesn't have a lot of costumes. That's for sure. That's a definite. He is one of the newer characters in the Marvel universe that Marvel is now using a lot more. He had a few costumes,
yes.
But Insomniac did create some more costumes for him. So yeah, it's around 19, the costume count. So far, Miles Morales.
I will say the one, I don't want to say disappointed, but I was kind of, I'm still kind of hoping that there is another Into the Spider-Verse costume where he has his hoodie and his Nikes. I don't know why, but I like Spider-Man costumes with hoodies. And I guess it kind of goes back to the Ben Reilly costume from like the 90s, even though it really isn't that great. But for some reason, I don't know. It just hits right. kind of like the Spider-Gwen or Ghost Spider costume, because she has like a hood on. And I don't know why. Well, that one has like a nice color scheme, too. But I don't know why. I'm hoping like that shows up at some point. Even if it's not like exactly the Into the Spider-Verse one, but if he's wearing a hoodie and tennies, that'd be great. I don't know. But yeah, that's a cool thing, which if I can get a PS5 this week, I'll probably get it for that. Otherwise, maybe I'll just get it on PS4.
Well, Sony did release that they are going to be more stocks on launch day, so...
Yes.
It's definitely something there with the pre-order shenanigans.
And if they said that it's going to be... And, well, there's still going to be pre-order shenanigans because they did say that it was going to be online-only ordering for different outlets. So if you wanted to get it at Best Buy, you could only order it online. You couldn't go into the store to pick it up. And that's kind of like a good way to mitigate some... Because... No one wants to publicize that their console got people contracting COVID. Like, it's a good idea for that to happen instead of having like a whole bunch of people flock to stores trying to find the systems. So, but yeah, it's nice. Hopefully I get a PS5. I missed out on like all the pre-orders.
you know, if Sony wants to send us some, I'm all for it, but I have a pre-order all the time.
Yes.
But yeah, we will, next podcast that we do, we're going to talk more about next gen. So definitely stay tuned for that one. Another thing with Sony, again, all this news is releasing now. We're finally getting some stuff. Demon's Soul actually had a state of play that released. And also, the character creator looks completely different now. Like, way different.
Yes, it's not the monstrous trash in the previous games. Or previous Demon's Souls, Dark Souls games. They said specifically that they're trying to bring it up to modern day standards in terms of character creator. And oh boy, did they bring it up to modern day
standards. Yeah, it looks amazing. It really does. Like you mentioned, like, they don't look like monsters anymore. Like, I could create a character that looks like myself. Like, I could create a character that looks like me.
Yeah. Like, it looked really good. And that's what I always have fun with, like, those games, is, like, creating a character. Even though, like, you're not going to see their face after, like, maybe 30 minutes of gameplay. Because by then, you'll have something that completely covers your head. But still.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
It's nice to have that option. Yeah. It's only for you, but it's there for you.
Yeah, and the UI changes, too. There's a photo mode now in Demon's Souls. The UI looks clean and simple, so it's good. I like seeing games being completely remade, still keeping an essence of themselves, but these sort of upgrades I love seeing. So yeah, I actually want to see Bluepoint take on like Legends of Dragoon or another like Sony classic. That's what I want to see Bluepoint turn into remaking and reimagining stuff. That would be awesome, just if they could just do that. I know, and I know people are probably thinking, like, why are you saying things like this? They should be able to create their own, you know, like their own new title. But if they're good at this and they really love doing this, they should actually just keep doing this. I would be happy if they could do like Legends of Dragoon or let's see, like Rogue Galaxy, like something different, or Dark Cloud even. Like just like something out there for them to see if they could reimagine it.
So I'm gonna this kind of relates to something a little bit more another topic we're going to talk about, I guess, a little bit. Still related. But I have an inkling that Sony might buy Bluepoint to kind of help them remaster games / be support. And I feel like if a company was going to buy Bluepoint, Sony would probably be the best bet. Because they have a ton of games strewn like on a ton of systems that all have varying levels of visuals, and I think Bluepoint would be a good asset for Sony in terms of remakes and like just ports and stuff like that.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. They could even be a backwards compatibility development team. So
I mean, Sony doesn't need it as much, but like,
well, they could help out with that.
Yeah, like you said, Legend of Dragoon, Wild Arms. Wild Arms is in desperate need of some updating. So yeah, like I feel like Bluepoint would be a good purchase because, you know. So Sony has been less aggressive about buying studios. Fuck, they just bought Insomniac not too long ago, which they should have bought them like years ago. But I think Bluepoint, since they seem to be doing a lot of Sony games anyway, a lot of Sony games anyway, I think it would behoove Sony to put a ring on it.
Yeah, it's definitely the best bet. Yeah, because they work so well. Like, I can even see, like, Jack and Daxter coming back, like, a complete reimagination of it. Like, you know, that would be awesome with their catalog that they do have, using Blue Point as, you know, support to get those titles, to get interest in those titles. So, yeah.
Yeah, because it makes more sense to have another company work on like on ports like that instead of having Naughty Dog, you know, doing it themselves, like Insomniac did with the Ratchet and Clank remake. But, you know, as a Sony studio, they could probably have an A team and a B team to the point where they can, you know, have one team do ports and another team do like original projects as well. So yeah, there's tons, I think, that can be done. And I think Blue Point would be a good get. So
yeah, and then in the wake of all this PS5 news, Jim Ryan, the president of PlayStation, actually put out a few statements that, again, it goes into what you just said with Blue Point, that Sony will continue to grow its studios' capability organically. And this is exactly what we're talking about with Blue Point, where, again, they've had a long-term relationship with Sony so far, and it's the same as Insomniac. Insomniac had a long-term relationship with Sony. This is how all Sony's first-party studios started out, where they've been working with Sony for years and years on end, and then Sony finally, you know, acquires them. So I see that happening. I definitely see that happening. Like, I see it happening sooner than later. So yeah, it goes hand in hand with Blue Point. Another other Sony news that recently came out, and this is the same, around the same time as Jim Ryan speaking about, you know, growing the studios out, is that PlayStation 5's demands are much higher in 12 hours than they were for the PS4, which took 12 weeks to sell out.
Yeah, I think it's like a combination of COVID and people are like super thirsty. It doesn't help that there's been some, shall we say, over-eagerness in terms of what to expect for next gen with all this 4K 120 talk. Because shit's not going to run at 4K 120.
Yeah, the expectation should be lower, yes.
100%.
Expectation should be lower.
So if you're going into next gen thinking like every game is going to run 4K 120, honey, do I have news for you. That's not happening. Like, that can barely happen with games on PC. That's not happening with consoles.
Yeah, it was never going to happen.
Will some games run at 120 frames per second? Yes. Absolutely. Will it be perfect? I'm sure it'd be okay. Are you going to have 4K? Honestly, I think very few titles are going to be native 4K. Everything else is going to be checkerboard resolution, dynamic resolution. But are you going to get 4K and 120?
No.
No. That is not happening. In no way in hell. Unless you like games looking like a PS2 game, then yes, it 100% will. But people aren't going to buy PS2 games for their fancy PS quad...
quintuple.
Quintuple. Yes, there we go. I had to think about it. Yeah. After four, I'm like, triple, fuck, man, what's next? No. No. We're not on the PS triple no more. But yeah, just temper your expectations, people. Like, it looks good, don't get me wrong. I mean, you're gonna have your ray tracing and your all fancy pants shit, but lowered expectations.
Yes, definitely. And like you mentioned, it's a combination of you know, just everything that's been going on this year. Everybody's been waiting for next gen, especially the way the news has been rolling out. You know, we've talked about it before. We have been thirsty for next gen news, and now it's finally here. So it's definitely, I definitely see the demand there with COVID still going on, and it's been about 7 years since the last console launch. So yeah, it's the demand is definitely higher for these next gen consoles, especially the PS5. In this case. So yeah, I definitely see it. And same for the graphic card industry. It's exactly the same thing. With the, you know, the Series 3000 GeForce card. So it's, yeah, definitely been thirsty.
Yeah, between Nvidia's 30 series and even AMD's 6000 Radeon series, like, there's a lot of power to go around. Whether you're on console, whether you're on PC, whether you're on Team Green or Team Red, there's plenty of power. And just recently, AMD finally announced, not released because it isn't released yet, but they have announced their three new GPUs, and as pretty much someone who has had an NVIDIA card for the last 5 years, AMD looks like they're definitely making a running in terms of just like kicking it up a notch between their CPUs and their GPUs. I guess let's do a quick run through. They have three CPUs, or three GPUs that they announced. The lower tier, quote unquote, is the Radeon RX 6800, which is retailing for about $579, which is targeting the RTX 3070, which I think is technically more, the 3070 is a little bit cheaper. I can't remember. But it is going to have, that one comes out in November 18th-ish. And that one has 16 gigs of GDDR6 memory. In fact, all three cards have that much, which is more than NVIDIA has except for the 3090. Next up is the 6800 XT, which is their 3080 rival. And then finally, the 6900 XT, which is the 3090 rival. Did I say 3090 twice?
No, 3080. Yeah, they get all confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all too close to each other.
So it's basically 6900.
No, yeah, you did say 3090 there.
Because I blanked there for a sec. Yeah, but yes, the 6900 XT is a 3090 equivalent, but cheaper by like a good amount. That one's only $1,000. The 6800 XT is $649, which is $50 cheaper. And then the 6800, which is $579, which is, I think, a little bit more than the 3070. But it does have more memory than the 3070. So yeah, I mean, it really, any way you slice it, it is fantastic pickings for any way you want to play video games in the next several years.
Well,
these are good games.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it is that AMD is like finally back to being competitive, and it definitely changes things. It puts things into perspective, because now, since there's more competition, the prices will probably become lower in the long run. So it's good that, you know, AMD is matching up to NVIDIA. So I'm excited for it. I've always loved AMD stuff. Like, my current graphic card is in the 580 series. I've always loved AMD. So it's Yeah, so it's nice that it's fun. They're finally back into competing, because their processes are so good. Just in general, that's one of the great things. So yeah, exciting times. You're right. Like, and either way, it's a gain.
Yep, everyone's gonna love it. Everyone's gonna use those fancy GPUs and CPUs and game consoles to play everything that's delayed until next year.
Pretty much.
And look at that on the horizon. That's a segue to the next topic, where everything got delayed. We will deal with the big one at the end, but several things got delayed, such as Destruction All-Stars, which was supposed to be a launch title.
The PS5.
For the PS5. Yes, got delayed till March?
February. So it got delayed till, yes, it got delayed
February.
You see, there's a lot of titles that there were just so much are coming in around the same time, but it did get delayed until February.
Yes.
And it's actually coming out on PlayStation Plus for free for 2 months. So that's actually a good get.
It'll be a PS. That is a good one, yeah. And it's one of those titles where they didn't show, really, they didn't show shit about it. Now, honestly, they didn't really show shit about Demon's Souls. I was still kind of surprised that it didn't get delayed. But, yeah, it kind of makes sense to delay a little bit. Hopefully, it doesn't release at the same time as Gran Turismo, whenever that's supposed to come out. Because that would probably destroy it. Even if it is free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, but they're two different things.
Even though they're different games, yeah, but I kind of feel like Gran Turismo would suck out all the air from the room if Sony released another racing type of game-ish. Vehicle game rather than, you know, racing.
Yeah, now thinking about that now, since you put that into perspective here, yeah, maybe Gran Turismo is not going to launch early next year. Maybe it's going to launch like in May or June. So, you know, enough time.
Yeah, that would probably be the best for them.
Yeah, but I'm excited that, you know, it's coming for free. I was actually going to buy it at launch, Destruction All-Stars. So, you know, it's exciting that it's coming out for free, but I know a lot of people say that, you know, what's going on the interwebs, that Destruction All-Stars wouldn't have been worth it for $70. But, I would have actually got this at launch and would have gave it a try. Always good to give things a try. Like, I understand the pricing point of these new titles. The actual price hike should have happened last gen. So, it's, for me, like, it coming on PlayStation Plus now, it's definitely nice because the player base. Because this is a big multiplayer game as well. Because it does have some single-player stuff. So yeah, it's going to grab a new audience. Definitely.
But yes, also delayed, Far Cry 6. It got delayed a year?
So it didn't, yeah. Look at that. There's so many other games that got delayed. Like, there's just been a lot of stuff, and Far Cry 6 was actually delayed. Pretty much it was given an in-between time. So it was moved to another fiscal quarter in that sense. So the delay could go on from April of 2021 to March 2022. So you would see the game release in those months. So it could come out, you know, sooner sooner in the next year coming up, or later till 2022. So that this one was an interesting one to me as well, because when this was shown off, you know, Yubi was for sure on the dates for Far Cry 6. But again, I can understand all the delays because of COVID. happening, and it's better getting all these delays out, you know, as soon as possible, so that way people could start taking notice. Like, you know, this is a real thing. Delays do happen, and they're good sometimes. So yeah.
Yes, not all delays are gloom and doom. But they definitely can be signaling troubled times ahead, but it just depends on stuff. I kind of feel like Far Cry 6 was just announced so that they could announce a big, you know, oh, here's our big title. But yeah, it's whatever. They got a big get for an actor, and they just want to kind of show it off, and they're like, oh, well, we got more work to do. But then again, they're pretty bad with some of their stuff in terms, well, not even including their fucking workplace environment. When was the last time Beyond Good and Evil 2 was shown off?
Yeah, it's been quite a while, actually.
Mm-hmm. But Michael Ancel left the company because he's trash. So, yeah, that probably won't ever come out. Que sera, sera. But hey, look, speaking of trash, here's Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, we have another title. We have another title to talk about before Cyberpunk. Okay. Because the other title was actually an Xbox Series X launch window. And it's still in the launch window. And it's the Medium. So the Medium got delayed until January 28th now. It was actually supposed to release December 10th. And Bloober team is actually a much smaller team. So this is, to me, this is more understandable than the Cyberpunk one. But this one was highly anticipated to come out on December 10th. Because again, with the Xbox, there's barely any games launching with it. There's no games. There's
true.
No games. Let's put it like that. There's not many new games.
Not many first party games. Yeah, the fact that the Medium got delayed isn't great. I mean, if it had released, honestly, if it had released for launch, I can imagine, and Microsoft marketed enough, it could have, I think, done very, very well. But as it is, like, I think January date isn't too bad. Hopefully it's not, because I haven't checked like a release calendar, so hopefully it's not fucking releasing the same day as a big title, because January would be a good day month to release just something that's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, and I guess we could talk about the elephant in the room here. Cyberpunk has been delayed, and I called this.
Yes.
I did call it. Yes, and this is why you had to play The Last of Us, because I did call this.
Yes. It got delayed for 3 weeks, and allegedly it was because they were aiming for a 90-plus Metacritic score, which I can understand why they're aiming for that score, because, you know, obviously they want to be seen as a premier game studio, even though I think they've only had one other game that they've done that even hit 90%, and that was Witcher 3. Even if it was like 85, I think it'd still be pretty good. But apparently there's tons of technical issues with current gen, and that's kind of why they've delayed it, even though it went gold a few weeks ago. But it's super dumb. And it's just, well, okay, I guess I should say this. Do not, under any circumstances, send out fucking death threats to developers for delaying a video game. Let me repeat that again for those in the back. Do not send fucking death threats. Period. Because that is ridiculous.
It's crazy. And CD Projekt has done, you know, the upper management has done some shady shit already. But we have to keep in mind that there's a lot more developers making this game, and they're trying their best to get this game out because they've been working on this for so long. Like, they've been working countless hours of the day. And I know last podcast we were talking about it. But yeah, it's kind of, like you said, it's ridiculous that people are getting death threats. And it was the same with the Spider-Man remastered when they changed Peter Parker's model. And it's unbelievable that people are like this. Like, developers want to make the game for you to enjoy. And Cyberpunk, again, has been a little shady, just everything that's been going on with CD Projekt, but there's people who actually, those developers, they care about their product. So give them the time to polish the game. Give them that time because, you know, it's for your enjoyment. This is a luxury for us to even be talking about games like this in that sense. So, you know, it being delayed is perfectly fine. Now, you know, the allegedly part on that they want a 90 plus game in terms of Metacritic, that's very questionable. I'm still not sure on what I'm getting in terms of the console versions of Cyberpunk. And this is why I think that the actual reason why it was actually delayed was not more because it was a 90 plus Metacritic. I think that the console versions just do not work, or they're not they just flat out are broken. And this is pretty much like time to even put more countless hours on these developers just to fix it. So
yeah, it's I mean, because they're all already like, there's been so much crunch for CD Projekt Red, even after they said, oh, there's not going to be crunch. And the game went gold like a few weeks ago. But like, this whole project should have been managed a lot better from the beginning. And honestly, it's CD Projekt Red, the ones who kept putting out dates. If they had just said, oh, you know, 2021, 2022, or just something like that, just a nebulous date, instead of like, oh, it's coming out in April. Oh, nope, never mind, it's coming out in September. Oh, nope, never mind, it's coming out in November. Like, I honestly half feel like they're just trying to get it out now, or at least in December, at this point, just so that they can say that they have the game out, because they have all these like marketing partners, fucking Funko Pops and like figures, Todd McFarlane figures, and like pre-order or fucking Xbox Ones from like from June, which I have one of, and like chairs. It's just like a lot of marketing stuff that I think that they were just like, we gotta have it out. They kind of like set these things up and then realized, fuck.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like bad planning.
It definitely seems that way. I just feel, again, this is me. I feel that the PS4 and the Xbox One version should have just been canceled. They should have just released the PC version now and wait next.
No, I don't think so. I think having, well, cause yeah, the big thing is like, they're working on like 9 different releases. You know, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, Series S, Stadia PC, and I guess original PS4. I guess that's the 5th or the 9th one. And so obviously that comes with a detriment, like focusing a lot. But honestly, they should have focused on current gen and PC. And I guess Stadia, I don't know, that's just fucking weird. They shouldn't have worried about next gen. They should have focused on current gen. Even it, I mean, because like the game's still going to be playable on next gen, so it's not like they have to really work on it. Have that out the door and then like finish up next gen. Unless it was going to like, unless they had just decided, hey, it's going to be a next gen title from the beginning, but that would require product management.
Yeah, and the CD product has been pretty shady. But we'll see as we get like closer to December 10th, because I think it's going to get delayed again, and I think it's going to come sooner.
It might. I have no stake in this anymore. I'm like, they can delay it again. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's like, already foregone. Care. Yeah, it's already whatever. Foregone. Like, go ahead and delay it. Let those developers take, you know, let them, if they do delay it to a point where it's like April, where you don't have people working around the clock. Just get it finished. Like, get it finished, but get it finished and fix things. Because, yeah, at the moment, CD Projekt is looking like a very shit company. Just in general. So it's definitely, again, these developers have been working hard to get this game out. And by no way, you know, if you're going to buy Cyberpunk, buy it, play it, know that these developers have been working hard to get this out. But CD Projekt in general, their company practices are shitty, and they have to be called out for it. And we will always call them out on their shit.
Yes. They need to, like, you can enjoy something from a, I don't want to necessarily say this, but you can enjoy an end product from a company that's a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. This is it's not like it's a person. These are multiple people.
No, it is a person. Yeah, there are multiple people working on it.
It's multiple people. It's not one person.
But
it's multiple people.
But there's no. Yes, but at the end of the day, it's your dollar, and you get to spend it however you want. If you do not want to support this company in any way, shape, or form, you know, and I'm not saying this as to belittle it, but like, you know, more power to you, and you should do exactly what you feel is right, 100%. If you're unsure of, or if you're looking for validation that you buying something because you're looking forward to it, despite the developers or the publisher being sketchy, you know, that's on you. But just know that at the end of the day, it is up to you, and you have that choice. And if you don't want to, because, I mean, how many people aren't buying Cyberpunk 2077 because they don't like how it looks, they don't like anything about the setting? Like, sure, they're quote-unquote taking money from the developers, but they weren't going to buy it to begin with. So even if you were at some point going to, and then all this shit happened and you weren't, then there's no problem for you not buying the game. You don't have to support anyone if you do not want to. Which is kind of honestly why I don't buy anything from TH Nordic anymore. THQ Nordic. After the whole 8chan thing. So it is up to you to spend the money how you feel is right. Get the enjoyment out of what you get.
Yeah, and I guess we could.
And thank you. I was going to say thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yeah, but yes, yeah. let's just keep moving on.
Yeah, moving on from that. I guess the biggest news this week would be that BioWare has finally awoken from their Anthem struggle. And they have confirmed.
I wouldn't even say that because I mean, this has been like rumored for
a long time. Yeah, the cat is out of the bag here. And it's they have confirmed
the worst kept secret.
They have confirmed Mass Effect Legacy Edition is releasing on the Xbox One, the PS4, and PC. And for the console versions, they all have forward compatibility for the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 as well. So, yeah, the Mass Effect Legacy Edition includes Mass Effect 1, the Legendary Edition, which includes a single-player DLC. It has Mass Effect 2, and it also has Mass Effect 3. Plus all the promo weapons, armors, and packs. All of them have been remastered, optimized for 4K. And they are going to be available next year. 2021. This is great news that Anthem is working on something else.
This is great news that BioWare is working on something else.
Oh yeah,
Anthem isn't working.
Yeah, there we go.
That's why they're in the state they're in.
BioWare. You see, look, I got all wrapped up into Anthem. Yes, it's good that BioWare is working on something else instead of Anthem. That's correct.
Well, the rumor too was they were doing Dragon Age, but yeah, still, regardless, like they're doing something after, especially after Andromeda, they're doing something with the Mass Effect franchise that I think a lot of people will enjoy. I will not be getting it. Well, I'm not going to say I won't, but I'll probably wait for a deep discounted sale for the Mass Effect trilogy.
I've always been so-so with Mass Effect. I've played Mass Effect so many times, I've never beat any of them. And I know people are probably gasping, but I've never beat any of the Mass Effect games. I've tried to play them. I've bought all the Mass Effects about 3 times each. I believe so. It's about a 3 times each sort of account. Yes. I know, it's crazy. But I like doing that sometimes. We don't get it as a review copy. I start just willy-nilly just buying a lot of stuff. And each and every time I play Mass Effect, it's like, I hope it's going to be a better experience. I hope I could get into this. I did it with Andromeda as well. I know Andromeda is not the best one to say about, but even with Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, I go into it all fine and dandy. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Let's play. Let's see what everyone's talking about. And not even halfway through, like literally I play like 5 to 6 hours of it, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, it's boring to me. I don't get it. Like, two was the most exciting one for me because it focused a bit more on the action, in terms of like how the balance reworked itself with the action. But even then, I find it boring. Like, I find the stuff boring. The conversation's boring. Like, it's weird.
I can see that. I basically shotgunned all 3 Mass Effect games within like a few months. It was like right after Mass Effect 3 came out. Because I had bought Mass Effect 1 and 2 on PC, but I didn't like it how they didn't have controller support. At least the first one didn't. So I like stopped playing after like an hour or two. And I tried like 2 times. But then eventually I'm like, Mass Effect 3 came out and it was like a huge deal. Like, oh my god, it's ending. So I'm like, all right, let me get back into it. So I bought the first game on Xbox 360. I played it. Honestly, I thought it was magical. It has a certain essence to it that is very like retro, like the music was really good and I really loved it. It had some cool like concepts and stuff. The second one was alright. It was very streamlined. which I played like right afterwards. I wasn't even going to do it. I was just going to play the first one, but then like I think the second one was on sale, so I got that. And then I played the third one. And sweet Jesus, did that suck. I shotgunned them, and I stayed away from any spoilers when I was playing them. I played them right in a row, so I didn't have that long, drawn-out, like, waiting between sequels type of thing. And it's just a very unsatisfying end. And so it's hard for me to get excited about this, honestly. Because I'm not going to play Mass Effect 1 and 2 and then not play 3. Like, if I'm not going to play 3, then I'm not going to play the first two again. So, I'm not terribly excited for... I mean, I'll buy it if it's $20. When it hits $20, I'll buy it. And I'll probably play through them, all three games. But I will say it's nice that they're including everything. Because it was such a shit show trying to get all the content. Because they had, like, there's a BioWare... website that you could get some stuff, and like you could get points to redeem it for like stuff, and it was just such a pain in the ass. So it's nice that it's all compiled, and out of all of the EA properties, this is probably a good one to remaster, even though they're kind of going a little crazy with the Need for Speed remasters, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah I agree with you, and this is someone who again has bought Mass Effect multiple times, and this is all the sequels. I agree with you. It's definitely one to remaster because it does have a lot of fans. I'm actually more excited about the future of it. The reason why is because the graphical updates. I'm very excited for the visuals for Mass Effect. That's I guess that's the most exciting thing for me. Just seeing, you know, space with just the extra power. And even seeing what the remastered versions might look like might get me interested again, but I'm excited for the potential of the next series. So for me, it's definitely a wait and see, but you know, for me to actually sit down and play it. But I'm very excited on what's going to be their take now and how it's going to look. And hopefully it doesn't slug through for me. And I guess that's it. Well, we're going to end it off with Mass Effect today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next gen is coming officially in the next week, so yeah, it's definitely a great week just with everything that's going on, just in general. So yeah, we are closing the floodgates here, as always, only to reopen them for next gen talk. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Well, I think I got this reversed this time, but definitely look out for us on Facebook, Twitter.
No, you got it right. Follow us.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah, like one of those Facebook things. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got it right. And then you like stopped on Facebook. And
I had to think about that one, Rob. Right. Yes, it's definitely been a long, exhausting week. But definitely follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify. We're on Apple Music. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on all the major podcast directories. So definitely check us out there, and we'll catch you next time.
Catch you on the flip side.